This is the Gear Life Podcast number 9. Today we talk about the best keyboard ever, the Microsoft Xbox 360 launch date, and our favorite digital audio format turns 10 years old. All this and more on today's edition of the Gear Life Podcast.
Friggin' Cheech. Okay. Hey, everybody. Welcome to this week's Gear Life Podcast. I'm Andrew Edwards.
I'm Edwin.
I'm Oscar.
And this is Sparky.
And we are here this week bringing you another mouthful of tech news from this week on GearLife.com. Let's see. Today we're going to start with talking about what is probably one of my most favorite stories in the history of Gear Live. It's
ever.
The Optimus OLED keyboard. And this thing is awesome.
Give it to me.
Calm down. It's a keyboard that uses OLED screens, which are, you know, you can liken them to LED screens for those that don't know what OLED is. But basically, you have these screens underneath the glass or plastic casings over each individual key. So each key has its own dedicated screen to display information. And what's cool about it is that, you know, basically these screens can be changed into anything you want to be changed into. So, for example, if you're typing, a regular document, it'll look like a normal keyboard. But if you go in to play, say, Halo on your computer, you know, your keys might change from letters to directional buttons, a gun. You can have an icon of a gun for your
plasma grenades.
Yeah, exactly. You can have a cool plasma grenade button, a regular grenade button. It's just awesome. What did you guys think about this thing?
Oh, that keyboard is friggin' awesome. I saw it and instantly decided I must own two.
It's sick, man.
Two.
Two. At the hefty price tag. I just want to remind everybody to go to the site and just check out the pictures up on there. We got a couple of pictures up I'm looking at right now. One is like the main picture where just about on every on the home site of the post two, you've got the applications on the left side of the keyboard. But we also show you a little bit like a Quake layout, Photoshop layout, and a whole expanded view of the keyboard. We should definitely, if you think that we're going crazy over just a keyboard, you got to check out these pictures and see for yourself what we're talking about.
Now, it was kind of interesting when the story first broke, there was a lot of confusion out there. Like, is this a design prototype? Does this actually exist? Can you buy it? And that was actually solved a couple of days back. A website called Primo Tech actually got a hold of Artemy Lebedev, who was the artist on this, and did an interview with him. Found out that not only is it a design prototype, but he is working with some Chinese and Korean manufacturing companies, and within 1 year these will be in production and will be available hopefully in the United States in the $2 to $3 range.
Yep, and I was just mentioning that he also mentioned, which was pretty cool, is like one of the things I wonder is how's this keyboard connecting. And they also, they basically speculate USB 2.0 for sure, it says here, FireWire probably, and it probably have an external power supply, which is understandable for this type of gear. No need for Bluetooth, etc.
But it does kind of suck, though. I mean, like in my computer power supply, I have like 6 plugs, and they're all taken. And I don't know where I plug this thing in, but I mean, plug my printer just to have this thing. It's so awesome. Like, I think someone posted in the comments on that story that it would be cool if you could use this thing as a screensaver, like if it would have its own screensaver as well. So that you can, like, have, for example, Qbert just jumping from key to key.
Oh, that would be awesome.
That'd be pretty sick, yeah. Yeah, I even saw, I think somebody also posted in the comments about something that would be kind of cool, too, is that maybe if your computer goes into a sort of screensaver like that, too, or when you're using, like, Winamp or something, or iTunes, too, you could have the information displayed on the keyboard, like spacebar, which is probably the best way to do it, to kind of have, you know, artist info and on. I mean, all of the, we're just really getting ahead of ourselves into what we really want this thing to do. So hopefully somebody hears our cries and makes it happen.
Yeah, or even like...
The important part about this keyboard is that it's not just like little keyboard shortcuts that show you, just like any multimedia keyboard. It's what it has, Sparky had mentioned before about the... it's going to be available with the SDK, so you can program your own shortcuts into them. Is that right, Sparky?
Yeah, he was talking about making the first open source keyboard. So it would come with its own SDK and a number of pre-made skins or themes for like different applications, be it Quake, Photoshop, or audio video editing stuff. But you'd have the ability to make your own custom layouts, your own custom macros. So you can do more than just remap the keys. You can say in this mode, when I press the A key, actually fire up this macro or this script or this sequence of keys.
Yeah, that would be definitely something that I'd be looking for. I mean, being open source is obviously huge for something like this. It's never, I know things like this have been done yet, so we really want to see something cool happen with it. Either way, you know what? We're all going to get it. So, I mean, we're not going to be complaining too much about what it can and can't do, I think. We're going to be like, what? Guess what? I've got this the OLED keyboard, and have your friends come over and drool over it and whatnot.
Yeah, well, it's just, you know, for me, you know, being the gadget lover that I am, I've never, you know, really been lusting after a keyboard. You know, with HDTV, surround sound, you know, when I didn't have an iPod, it was the iPod, and, you know, the coolest cell phone. But a keyboard, like, this is, like, I don't know if I've ever wanted anything more. It's, like, so cool. That's how cool it is.
Yeah, definitely. It's because we're just, you know, spending a bunch of time talking about a keyboard. That's how incredible this thing is.
Yeah, and let me mention one other thing that we actually forgot, which I thought was the coolest feature, was that on the shortcuts, at least in one of the pictures, like the shortcut keys, it actually had the icon of that application.
Right, so like iTunes
The other thing is that this is backlit, so even if you're in the dark, you can still see your screen, which, you know, really cool. So, like, there was, like, an iTunes key, so you can just imagine, you know, you hit the iTunes key, and all of a sudden your keyboard just, like, you know, changes totally into iTunes, you know, control panel, if you want it to. I just thought that was amazing, and I'm really looking forward to seeing that thing hit the United States, or, you know, even if it hits Japan first, that'll probably be the first thing I ever import.
That's the sickest thing. I mean, like, I'm going to buy one for my laptop.
Import market.
I'm going to buy one for my laptop, carry it around, and, like, put it on top of my laptop as I, you know, plug it in.
On the train.
That's right. Use it on the train. I can't because I have nowhere to plug it in. But but if I find a plug on the train, that's what I'm going to use it for.
There you go. Well, anyways, let's move on. Let's move on. We'll all agree that that's an awesome piece of technology and beautiful, too. Anyway, the next story we wanted to talk about was the Xbox 360 launched on November 4th, 2005. Now, this isn't confirmed by Microsoft. Apparently, what happened was someone over there at Microsoft put this up on their website. A few people saw it. They took it immediately. I actually did not see this firsthand, and I haven't even seen a screenshot of it. But if that's the case, now I know that the Xbox is, which I believe will be their first launch date, because they're planning on launching here, Europe, and Japan all before the end of the year. And I'm assuming the November 4th launch would be the U.S. launch or the U.S. and European launch at the same time.
You see, now, I'm not so sure that that was actually an ad and they put it up there for just a few minutes and then took it down. If you look at some of the, like, kind of guerrilla marketing subliminal stuff that they did for the Halo launch, it wouldn't surprise me if they did that intentionally to create the kind of buzz and, you know, get us talking about, oh, my God, leaked the launch date.
Yeah,
something very a pretty good clue about this would be the EB Games site. When you pre-order a game right now, it says estimated shipping is November 1st. So just like the PSP that you could buy the games beforehand, or like when the original Xbox came out, it was just a couple of days beforehand. And so that's pretty much it. Yeah, I can't wait.
that's what that is. It's finally setting in stone something that, you know, we've been talking about for a long time. I mean, several stories, obviously, on Gear Live and on Playfeed, talking about, you know, the Xbox 360, and it's just putting into perspective of this thing is going to be in my house, you know, for mid-November. I'm stoked. And I guess something that Oscar also put up on Playfeed, which is a little bit about the advertising for the Xbox 360.com. I know Sparky and Oscar have all visited the site. You visited the site, Andrew, actually?
Xbox360.com?
Yep.
Yeah, I've been there.
Yeah, it's... I don't know, I love it. I think it's a great... it's a great-looking site. There's so much to do. Once you venture through it, there's nothing else in the world that you want to buy. I mean, you'd, like, starve for a month if you have to just to get this system.
Yeah, well, Microsoft's been smart about marketing this thing. Like, mm-hmm. they, you know, they had their MTV special.
Mm-hmm.
They put a ton of hype behind it. At E3, that was all people were, you know, talking about. You know, that and Nintendogs for the Nintendo GX. Xbox 360 is going to be hot. I mean, do any of you guys have a media center PC?
I do.
Yeah, me too.
Do you really?
I just installed one this weekend.
He will by this weekend. Oscar will by this weekend.
Oh, okay.
No, I installed one this weekend, remember?
Okay.
Windows Media Center?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you have it running?
Yes.
Okay, cool, because I actually don't have one, and I've only used one, like, in, like, Circuit City to play around with, but this thing is supposed to take full advantage and be, like, a media center extender. And, you know, this might be the device that gets me to buy a Windows Media Center PC.
Better than that, right now you can go out and buy either an extender kit for your Xbox or Linksys and HP both make an extender for Media Center, but they're standard definition. They can only play standard definition television or
right.
stream WMV content that's 30i or lower. The Xbox 360 is going to be the first high-definition Media Center Media Center extender. So you're going to be able to, if you have a Media Center that has an HD card, either an over-the-air card, or if by the time they've got like a cable card working, you're going to be able to plug in and watch your recorded high-definition content in multiple rooms of your house.
Right.
That's awesome. Now, so wait, I thought the Media Center PCs didn't record high-def.
They don't record high-def from cable yet. However, some of them will do it if you've got an over-the-air tuner, so you can only get broadcast HD, not from, like, either satellite or Comcast cable or something like that.
Right. Or, like, DirecTV or anything like that, right?
I mean, that's kind of a downer, though. Like, that's where I get my high-definition content.
Well, I've heard rumors that the next version will definitely have full HD support, so we'll see.
Okay. Now, one thing, if you're using your Xbox 360 as your media center extender, you'll be using that. It'll actually come with, I believe it's going to come with the remote control, the Xbox 360 remote control.
Yeah, I think so, too. I think they mentioned that.
Yeah,
what you're able to do with that is, while you're watching TV, if you're connected wirelessly, you'll always be connected to the internet, and any of your friends at any time can invite you to a game. And while you're watching TV, in the lower on the lower portion of your television, you'll get an invite while you're watching TV, and it'll say, like, you've gotten an invite from so-and-so, press the X button to accept, and then you hit the X button on your remote control, and while you're watching TV, it'll kind of shrink, and the Xbox 360 dashboard just comes up, and you're able to jump into your game. It's so seamless, it's awesome.
It's definitely going to change the way people interact with both their digital media and their digital, like, gaming entertainment.
Yeah, I can't wait. I have no words. It's something that we're all forward to doing.
Well,
especially, you know, the Xbox
I
Live
portion. A lot of people going to work, either having the vacation, so they're all of a sudden going to be sick, huh?
That's right. Luckily, this is my work, so...
You're a lucky man, Andrew. You're a lucky man.
So, will that be basically no post on Gear Live, like, November 4th on, to, like, for, like, three or four weeks? You know, or, yeah, maybe
yeah,
ever.
I'm going to take like a month off, and then I'm going to come back to post, and the PS3 and the Revolution are going to come out, and then I'm going to...
And then, right. Basically, Gear Live will die November 3rd. Just, you know, everybody
mark that on your calendars.
Death of Gear Live right there.
But yeah, to put this thing in perspective, if it really is November 4th, that launch date is only about 3.5 months away, so... Prepare yourself.
Yeah, save up $100 each month.
Now, I'm actually going to try and get on the Microsoft campus and see if I can get, like, a tour of Xbox Studios and see what they have going on, do, like, a pre-launch kind of special on it. We'll see if I can make that happen. Let's move on to the next story. Happy birthday, MP3. It has now turned 10 years old.
Amazing.
Clap for that one.
Happy birthday indeed.
Yeah.
Yes, this is one of my best friends, MP3. You know, I actually, let me see, I was introduced to MP3 back in, I'd say, 96 or 97.
Yeah, I have to say about the same lady.
With Napster, a friend of mine was showing me Napster and how cool it was that you can just search for a song and download it, and it, you know, you have it on your computer and it's compressed and it doesn't take up as much space as it would if it was a CD track. And we thought it was so awesome that you could type in a song and 45 minutes later, that song's on your computer.
Dude, well, what's Napster?
It's more than that. I mean, like, Media MP3 is what really started the digital media revolution. Before that, I mean, like, it was the first perceptive encoding encoding scheme ever created. It woke people up and said, you don't have to have 650 megs for a CD. You can compress it down as much or as little as you want. And yeah, the more you compress it, it won't sound quite as good. But for most people's needs, you're going to need something on the order of, you know, 128 kbits, maybe 192. 192 is virtual CD quality. It brought about the entire revolution of portable MP3 players, which spurred the current revolution of portable video players. I mean, like, none of this would have happened if the MP3 had not come to existence.
Yeah, I was. I think Sparky and I were talking about this for Oscar 2. I mean, it's just like it's the beginning of something that has now become so incredibly, you know, it's a big part of our life. I don't see who doesn't know what MP3 is, you know. I sound like answer. I mean, I'll have to bleep that out. So, but, you know, it's that overwhelming. That's what MP3 does to me. It overwhelms me, too, where I can't even talk. You know, it's interesting because, like, I heard about MP3 also through a friend of mine. I think it was actually he was ripping his CD using some app. I don't remember what app he was using and just, you know, encoding it to MP3. And I think it's just interesting because, I didn't really think about how huge it was at that exact moment. I'm like, so what? You just made your CD into, like, you know, a really humongous file, because at the time, you know, whatever, you know, 30 megabyte file was, like, enormous, like, just, like, your whole hard drive for, you know, if you're using them back in the day, it was, you know, common to have, like, a 4 gigabyte drive, so, you know, it's just, like, that doesn't, you know, if you did that to all your CDs, your whole hard drive would be taken out, but that's kind of the point, is that, you know, MP3 started, I mean, the idea of, well, we're going to need, more storage because people are doing often, like, and it wouldn't have been done if, like, MP3 wasn't really born. You know, I thought it was cool to have parts of songs. I would download, like, 20-second clip from, like, my favorite song, and it was cool because I was on my computer and it was, like, 20 seconds. It took, like, 5 years on the dial-up line, you know, to get the file. It was so cool to have, like, you know, 16 megabyte, you know, 20-second clip wave. But that's it, you know, that's the idea. It's just like, you know, we've come such a long way from that. It all started with MP3.
Well, and the MP3 really gave birth to a number of other formats. I mean, like, now you've got AAC, you've got WMA, FLAC, OOG, and they all have their definite advantages. Like, there's some that have much better sound quality at lower bit rates or better DRM options. But the great thing about MP3 is it's really become the de facto standard. Every portable audio player supports it. Every car stereo supports it. I mean, like, yeah, they'll all support, like, either OG or WMA or whatever, but it's such a low common denominator. Everybody can support this. There are codecs out there. Every operating system on the planet can play an MP3. Nothing else can really say that.
Right, yeah. It's so, you know, it's so funny. It's like, it just brings back, like, another anecdote. I remember, like, going to work one time, and I had, a couple years back, I had a RealVox, which is my first portable CD player that supported MP3 CDs. And I told somebody, I said, yeah, I have about 200 songs on this CD right now. And they were like, no way, that's ridiculous. That can't be possible. I mean, it's just like, I mean, that's, you know, all common and whatnot, but yeah, like I said, we just come such a long way.
Yeah, well, I mean, if you really think about it, I'm almost of the, you know, the MP3 brought us, the iPod brought us, iTunes, even though they use the AAC format, it spurred that. So, I mean, that's pop culture, that's, you know, that's pure Americana right there as far as the iPod goes. And you might even say that the MP3 kind of kickstarted a whole broadband internet revolution, because, you know, how many of you, when you finally got broadband, fired up your favorite peer-to-peer client and started downloading music immediately?
Not me.
Yeah, we would never admit to something like that.
Never.
That's illegal download, though.
Now, what I did was...
Three songs.
I meant like open license stuff, like from independent artists and stuff.
Oh, yeah, definitely. All the indie stuff I downloaded right away as soon as I got the band, so I'm good.
Anyway, moving on. Again, happy birthday, MP3. You've changed all of our lives.
We love you.
For the better. Let's go with one of the more popular stories of the past week, which I'm actually surprised at because I wasn't really that impressed by, but it might be because I'm, you know, almost a full-fledged Mac user now, but the RK launcher for Windows XP, which is basically kind of an OS X dock for Windows XP. So I don't really have much to say about this because I've never used it, and I really have no interest to because the OS X launcher is what I use.
Well, allow me, a still Windows user as well.
Hardcore Windows user.
I didn't say that. I didn't say that.
250 megabytes RAM.
I'm Hey, that's just a laptop, okay? No. No, but my desktop PC, which can actually run a pretty good set of applications. I actually use this is a story that we posted a while back. The FireKai OS X, which is basically an entire Mac skin for your computer.
Did you install that?
I did. Hey, man, I got screenshots on RK Launcher comment section. Where
I'm
you
sorry,
been?
I'm sorry, it didn't go ahead.
You got to scroll down. So, past the ads. So I installed it, and it gave you the option to use two different docks. A dock also mentioned in the comment section called Object Dock, and that's the first option. I guess it's going in alphabetical order, or you can choose the RK launcher. So just because I didn't really care, I didn't know the difference, I clicked Object Dock. I installed Object Dock, and Object Dock was crashing on me left and right. I could not get this application to work.
Really?
So after about, like, yeah,
that
after about, like,
old
10...
school, though.
What's that?
That thing is old school. It's been around for years. I know.
I don't know what I was doing wrong, but when it comes to, you know, application crashing on my system, I'm like, it's gone. I mean, I had the option, so I just went back, installed the Object Dock, and installed the RK launcher, and I've been using it ever since. I love the RK launcher. If anybody wants to go down and check out my photo bucket pictures, along with many other people who've use the applications. They have some screenshots up there too. So it's a great application. The only thing that it doesn't do, which a couple of people mentioned, was like, you know, being able to drag files into the recycling bin, or the trash, as Mac calls it. Just because you can't drag it in, but if you click on it and hit delete, it does throw it into the bin, and you'll still see the piece of paper inside the trash bin and all that good stuff. You can actually set up. Yep.
Question.
What's that?
Okay. Yep. When it went to OS 10.
Yep.
My big fear from being a lifelong Windows user was that I would never be able to get used to not having start all programs, you know, that whole start button functionality. And,
yep.
You know, I don't have it on OS X, and I actually don't miss it at all. On a Windows PC, can you replace the start button with something like RK Launcher and feel comfortable using your computer?
Okay, this is how I actually have my actual setup. True story. My taskbar is completely gone. I dragged it to the top, I hit it, and I made sure that it doesn't come back ever again. The only way that actually works is, I even had it, so I put it so all of my windows go on top of it. So in case it ever does come up, I actually won't even see it because there'll be a window covering it. But
I know, tell us how you really
it's gone. It's gone.
From the registry.
It's gone. I put a plastic tape over my monitor, so if it comes up, I definitely can't see it. True story. And I put all of my most frequently used applications on dock. And even to shut down. Now, by the way, just so you know, this really ticks my wife off because she does not like the functionality of, like, she gets to figure out that she can just drag an icon right onto the object dock and it'll go on and it'll just, you know, she'll have a shortcut.
The RK launcher, you mean? The RK launcher, not object dock, right?
Right, the RK launcher, right. I'm sorry.
You can do fast user switching. Like, you can log off and your wife can log into her profile and she can have her own thing?
Yes. She can have her own settings in her, as a different user. And she hates it, so I had to kind of enable the dock for the taskbar for her just in case she can't, for some reason, even though she only checks email and uses Firefox, which is already on the dock. But I don't understand why that's such a difficult thing. And then I tell her to press Alt-Tab and switch over to the next application. She's like, that's too hard. Oh, Jesus.
God forbid you use
God forbid. Yeah, it's, you have to use a mouse for everything. So, you know, but basically, yeah, my whole taskbar is gone, and I use Alt-Tab to switch into applications. I want to shut down. I use the famous Alt-F4 in my, you know, when on my desktop, and that'll come bring up the turn off, restart menu. All of it looks like, you know, the whole FlyKai OS X, which I'm promoting right now. You know, it's great. It does eat up a lot of resources, so you may want to think about it before you're before you just go flying in and install it. If you're not running anything with, I would say, less than a gigahertz and no less than, I don't know, 512 MHz, I would rethink, you know, just installing it altogether.
You know, and it's really impressive to me that it's such a well done. I mean, like, I installed it on one of my Windows PCs, and it functions well. He's still only version 0.3 beta, so when I think of how much this piece of software, how much RK Launcher is going to improve by the time it launches, I mean, like, I just have to tip my hat to the developer there.
Oh, yeah, you should mention that Object Dock was crashing on you, so much, and RK Launcher wasn't, but when I first applied Kaito OS 10, I installed it with RK Launcher, and it kept on crashing on me. And I went to Object Dock, it still kept on crashing on me, so I just uninstalled the whole thing.
Serious flaws,
so, yeah,
apparently.
It's probably, you know, you all have your own user settings and everything, so that probably, you know, comes into play as well. Because user settings can differ so much on a Windows PC.
Okay, let's not start that now. Moving on.
What's up with your wife not being able to use the keyboard? So, like, she could need, like, the Optimus OLED mouse.
This is going to be an absolute necessity for my wife. I mean, she's absolutely going to need a keyboard. Honey, do you mind if we buy a $200 keyboard?
Yeah.
But you won't have to hit Alt Tab anymore.
Just hit a nice button that has like a little.
Oh, she's good. She's good. She's good. I'm down. Alt keyboard as soon as it comes out on the market.
Oh, straight out of Russia.
Thank goodness.
Move on. Last story for the day, which I'm actually also pretty excited about being a big HDTV fan. In 2009, analog TV will be no more.
That's not the topic.
For that one. I don't know what it's called. What is the topic?
It will die. It will die.
It won't be
die. Long live analog TV.
No more.
R.I.P.
The government is going to sell that spectrum, the analog spectrum. All TV is going to be broadcast in digital. And that selling the analog spectrum, this actually came about in the Clinton administration where he thought that if you sell that, the money earned from that can pay off the national deficit, and all these stations will be broadcasting into digital anyway. So this actually paves the road for cell phone communications and data-only cell phone, you know, use over that analog spectrum. What do you guys think?
This is one of the best things I've seen in a long time. This was actually has been a while coming. They originally, a couple of years back, were going to do this, and the manufacturers said, no, we're not ready. There are too many analog TVs out there. And then it was actually going to happen at the, I think it was February of next year, or sometime in next year was the deadline. And again, you know, the manufacturers and a few consumer agencies said we're just not ready for this yet. But finally, this time when they said 2009, that's when they got the buy-in from, you know, all the manufacturers, all of the broadcasters, everybody said, yes, by then we will be ready, we can cut off the analog signal and, you know, move forward, have high def everywhere.
Yeah, I think there's also, Sparky, I think you also were mentioning to me, for those still using analog TV, a converter, some sort of converter they were talking about. Well, you can probably explain it better than I can.
Yeah, well, you can already buy them for about $50. You can just get a small box that you plug your digital signal into one side and it presents an analog signal to your TV. So I actually have some friends who have an older TV as their second TV, and they just went and bought an HDTV, and they just installed a splitter in one of these boxes so they can still watch the high-def content on their old TV. It comes through as a standard signal.
Right.
Interesting. Now, the other thing is that in 2007... all new manufactured TVs are required to have this converter built in. So basically anybody that buys the TV starting 2007 or later will be ready for the 2009 switchover without having to purchase any additional hardware.
I know that they'll be required in 2007, but I mean, like, I was down at an audio video the other day, and pretty much every TV there already had one built in. The sales guy was actually kind of banging about that most of the manufacturers, as of even a few years ago, had really been trying to keep up that and making sure that all of their TVs were really kind of forward-looking.
So what's the delay? Like, why not say, you know, 2007?
Well, because there's a lot of people out there with really old TVs. I mean, like, if you think about, you know,
got
all
my black and white sitting in my living room right now.
We knew it.
I got radiating all over the living room. No, but yeah, I don't know. It's
now it's just like, I mean, what is the price difference between an HDTV routine television where against an HDTV? Built-in TV, it's quite a big old difference right there. That's why...
Tuner?
Oh, yeah, the tuner. Yeah,
I saw a couple of those converters. They run about, I think, $30 or so at, like, whatever your local electronics, Radio Shack style store or whatever. I really do have one TV that is analog only, which was a quote-unquote gift, but what a gift that should, well, anyway. I actually bought an RF switch for my Xbox so that when I'm kicked out of one TV, I can go onto that TV with the super-duper analog switch, sounds in mono, everything, it's awful.
You are a herb.
It's awful. It's awful. It's awful. I have no idea where the people are coming in Halo. You know, it's just like one speaker. It's just awful.
Like if someone is playing as like a white with a white costume, you just can't see them coming towards you because it's blank.
No, it's not black and white. It's color. It's just analog.
I thought you were being killing your own team, thinking they're.
Well, that would be easy then, right? It'd just be like camouflage. Just always be on the white team.
Like, the gray team and the light gray team. And
and the kind of gray team. I don't know. Off gray. Jeez. Yeah, I've attuned my eyes to that fine-tuning. I'm colorblind. Yeah. All right, moving on.
Yeah, moving on, though, I think it's definitely this is a good thing. I mean, like, aside from the money that the government's going to get to pay off the deficit or whatever, the increased wireless internet and wireless data capability that the providers going to have with that spectrum is just going to be incredible. Can you imagine the kind of like digital television apps on your cell phone or, you know, broadband music downloads and all of the potential that's out there for all sorts of tomorrow's really data-intensive applications in your pocket?
Just, I mean, three words, just fat pipe everywhere. I mean, it's just going to be great.
Yeah, no, so, and it's really funny. You know, I was thinking about that earlier today. You know, I have a 4.5-year-old son who is growing up in a digital world where, yeah, I mean, you know how, you know, our grandparents were like, you know, back in my day, we did, you know, we walked to school and whatever. Uphill both ways and all that kind of stuff.
Don't forget the snow.
That's in the snow, that's right.
With no shoes.
So now it's like, you know, I'm a young guy. I'm 24 years old, and I'm already like, you know, your son, back in my day, you know, we could only hear
out of one speaker.
That's right. We had to subscribe to GamePro, and we had to draw our own Zelda maps with pencil and paper.
What's pencil and paper, Dad?
You mean a tablet
kind of like
PC,
your tablet
right?
PC. It's like your tablet PC, but it's like, I don't know how to explain
analog.
It. Analog. Yeah. It's analog tablet PC. Awesome.
Oh, man.
Oh, man. Well,
yeah, I mean,
awesome.
That's the world that that people are growing up in now. I think it's just, you know, I think it's great, personally, because it's just, you know, so much ease of use. You know, content is going to be everywhere, and, you know, when we're at the forefront, you know. We're on the internet. We're bringing people news. You know, as it happens, people can subscribe via RSS. I just think it's, you know, the people as the media kind of thing is really starting to take off, and I'm glad to be a part of that.
Well, yeah, I mean, like, I think even, you know, on the Xbox 360 site, kind of went to that too. I think they also mentioned that, you know, they're really trying to listen to the people, making this a very people-oriented community where users like driving content themselves. I mean, this is the key right here. Nobody really we're kind of past the listening to just a specific set of people. We kind of want to go back to listening to our buddies and all that good stuff. So,
exactly.
You know, it's what the future is, like
very
it or not.
Cool. Well, that's the news we had to report on this week. I wanted to give all the listeners out there, or rather ask them, a little bit of help. We are out of our podcast, and we want to get it out to more people. So just want to let you know the different ways that you can help us get this out to the masses. First of all, obviously, it's iTunes. iTunes 4.9, if you don't have it, download it at iTunes.com. Go into the podcast directory on the iTunes Music Store, search for Gear Live, and subscribe. It's free. And iTunes.
Do this on every computer in your house.
Your friend's house.
And go to work. If you can download iTunes at work, do it on every computer on the network, and just subscribe to Gear Live. Everywhere. Yeah. Just go to Radio Shack. You know, download iTunes and.
Believe it or not, I was actually at the App Store today, and I went into iTunes, and it was iTunes 4.8.
Oh, no.
That's sad.
Did you upgrade it for them? Did you upgrade it for them?
I was going to go for an administrator account. I was going to upgrade.
Oh, you should have told them. You said, and by the way, please subscribe to GearLife.
No, I just brought up Safari and went to GearLife.com and left.
Actually put that up on some homepages, but we won't talk about that. Changing settings
now,
and Safari.
Another way to, you know, get to us and help us out, go to Odeo.com. If you don't know what Odeo is, it's kind of like a, think of Delicious, you know, that the website Delicious, the social bookmarking network, but for podcasting. And you can go there, you can search for, you can create an account. They just came up with it. You can search for Gear Live on there. We're also on there. You can subscribe. The thing about that site is that when you subscribe, you can preview our podcast right in their website. There's a really cool Flash Java interface that lets you play, pause, fast forward, rewind, and listen right there without even downloading. So you can kind of get comfortable and then download. And the other thing you can do is actually tag. So if, you know, in a certain podcast, if you talk about Nintendo or Apple, you can actually tag that podcast with those words. And then when people search for one of those words, our podcast will come up. So go to Odeo.com, O-G-E-O.com, and subscribe to us there as well. And then the other thing you can do is vote. Go to PodcastAlley.com, search for Gear Live, and vote. You can vote once a month, and that will help give us exposure as well. That's it from me. Do you guys have any last thoughts this week?
Just to reference, we're going to be putting links on everything that we've talked about on the post where this podcast will be on GearLive.com as well. So if you're interested in reading back on anything that we've already mentioned, you know, feel free to check out the site.
Okay. Hello. Well, for this week in Gear Live, I'm Andrew Edwards.
And I'm Edwin.
And I'm Sparky.
And Oscar's not with us anymore.
Who knows where he went? We will be
in Oscar's honor.
In Oscar's honor. Again, this is Edwards. We will be back next week with your next Gear Live podcast. And scene.